And the second thing I'm also pushing is that I think if you look at if you look at I think it definitely opens up a window that non-US governments can now make a better and more broader case that the whole principle of citizenship-based taxation, and especially the savings clause provision, which people who've been involved in this issue for a long time all know about, now has to be put on the table in future treaty negotiations. And I think that's kind of, I think, one of the really key things, because I think that could get a lot of the accidentals. I don't want to say there's a discriminatory situation between kind of first and second world countries, but I could definitely see a scenario where accidentals who come from a more developing country would have the benefit of the 3-year compliance, that they would be able to get a U.S. passport very easily, and not really have any future tax compliance issues. And I think there's an opening for accidentals who live in countries like Canada or France or the rest of the European Union, that opens up a window for their governments. And I think this is actually something I'm trying to propose as a possible very small change, in fact, to the holding proposal, for people who are residents of tax treaty countries, so a country that has a tax treaty with the US, that they would all automatically fall into this non-resident US citizen provision of law. And
Well, Tim, there's another way of doing that. And I think I'm right in saying this, that if the treaties could be renegotiated so there'd be no savings clause,
yes.
it would allow for the accidentals who are tax residents of the treaty partner country to simply do a treaty election and make
Yeah.
themselves non-resident.
Yes. And my proposal is actually, that is correct. And my understanding is it might be a little bit of complexity in that, that if the holding legislation passed as it exists today, and then a new treaty came in without the savings clause, you could have some litigation in terms of what is the governing law. So kind of the thing I'm proposing when I go down there this week is just get ahead of that issue and say, now that this legislation is passed in principle, we accept that in the future tax treaties aren't going to have a savings clause and people are going to make treaty elections. So we're just going to get ahead of that right now because it's going to happen. So let's just deal with that. And it's basically a one sentence change. And that would get out. It really wouldn't change the bill that much, and it would get ahead of that treaty savings clause issue right now. So that's actually one of the really key things I'm going to try to push to the extent I can. And I think for a lot of the people, because the countries the US has tax treaties with all tend to be very first world countries. So that would kind of fix the problem for the accidental Americans in those countries. So that's I think another angle where I think this bill opens up some pretty big opportunities.
The thing about the savings clause is that, looked at from another point of view, the treaty partner country is actually agreeing that the United States can impose worldwide taxation on their residents. It's unbelievable to me that they would do this.
The
I mean,
only
they obviously never understood what they were signing.
caveat I would say to that provision is there are some select tax treaties that are so old. Greece, for example, which is a member of the European Union, its tax treaty with the US dates back to 1950, and it has a savings clause. But I think there's a very strong argument that if that treaty was interpreted in court, when basically Greece says, okay, we allow the US to tax its citizens on their worldwide income, even if they're residents of Greece, I think there's actually a strong case that you could argue that when that treaty was put into force back in 1950, the definition of citizen in the treaty should actually be the definition of citizen in U.S. law in 1950,
Yeah, I think that's an excellent argument.
which anyone has followed this issue for, like you and me have, knows it's a very different definition from today to 1950. And I've actually told people that I know that I think would fit into this space. I've kind of told them jokingly, especially some people who live in other EU member states, well, the way to fix this is just move from Paris to Athens, because there's a strong case that, for example, while under the modern quote-unquote definition of citizenship, even though you consider yourself an accidental, I mean, the U.S. is saying you're a citizen, and France is acknowledging that in their more up-to-date tax treaty. But if you moved as an EU national from to Greece, there's a strong case as citizenship law existed back in 1950, and that's all Greece is basically accepting is the 1950 definition of citizen. Well, you've clearly aren't. You've done many things that would have, back in 1950, would have no longer
Right.
made
Well,
you a
the people
citizen.
who would benefit from that the most would be the people who moved to Greece and became Greece citizens. Because under the citizenship laws of the 50s, they would have automatically
Yeah.
lost U.S.
Well, I was
citizenship.
arguing some of these are people who, for example, became French citizen. Well, like the example, like if you were born outside the United States, for example, born outside of France, for example, in the United States, even to French parents, you have to, when you're 18, you have to make like a certification saying you're now a French citizen, and you accept that. You don't automatically become a French citizen unless you go through a very basic process, but there's still a process when you turn 18 years old. So by doing that under that old 1950 era legislation, you have lost your American citizenship. So it's a very highly technical issue, but it's definitely, I don't want to use the term loophole because I don't you aren't I, in my mind, you aren't trying to evade anything, but that's definitely a situation that's already in law. So that's one of the things I'm actually going to say is you already have a possibility for a treaty election. This isn't like hypothetical, like, oh, we're going to pass this bill and maybe countries will come back and say we don't want the savings clause anymore. My argument in part is actually the savings clause does not in all circumstances do what people think it does. That there's already cases where you could make a treaty election, and it would probably be valid under that particular treaty. So one of my arguments is kind of going to be just get ahead of this issue and just say, okay, we're going to have two ways to get this non-resident citizen status. You can either have the 3 years compliance, or if you were a resident of a treaty country, whether it be Greece or France or Canada, you're basically all automatically in this status. And my hope is, and I'm not sure this will work, but my hope is that is if you actually do the revenue loss, there was reasons they put in that 3 year compliance thing, and I don't necessarily want to reopen that. I'm quite willing to live with that in this bill, but if you do it based on a tax treaty issue, those tend to have very neutral budget scores. In fact, I'm not sure if there's ever been a time where they've actually scored a tax treaty as impacting revenue negatively or positively. And I think the assumption is when they do these complex budget scores for tax legislation is that, well, when you have treaty countries, by definition, the person is, if they're a resident of Greece or France, they're paying Greece or French tax on their worldwide income, and it would, through the foreign tax credit, it would cancel out whatever tax liability they have in the US, which is, as you and me know, not actually true, but my understanding is the way these things are scored in terms of revenue gain or loss, the treaty related provisions actually tend to be pretty neutral. So that's kind of one other thing I'm going to try to sell on. So So there's that angle. So I think I guess my initial thoughts, I think this actually, the bill is a very good first step. I think there can be some modifications that I might happen that I think are actually pretty minor that could increase the benefits. But I think there's good reasons to let it go for to push it to go forward. And I think that's kind of your feeling, John, too.
Oh, there's absolutely no question it needs to go forward.